Russia reacted angrily today to U.S. moves to build a missile defense system. Yesterday, the president announced he is directing the Pentagon to deploy the first stage of a missile defense by 2004. 10 so-called interceptor rockets will be based at sites in Alaska and California.
Joining us now to explain how the proposed missile defense system might work is Dr. Raymond Askew. He's director of Space Research Development at Texas A&M University. Dr. Askew, I wonder if you could sort of take us through the process. Let's say a missile is launched from North Korea. How would that trigger the defense system? I mean, how would the system know that a missile is being fired at a target in the United States?
Most of the major powers in the world today, and certainly the U.S., have an array of satellites that look for any light flashes, as it were, on the face of the Earth. Launch of a missile gives a clear signature. Once that's done, signal is sent to command and control headquarters that indicates a missile has launched and sets up a warning system for our radars around the world to start looking for it.
So what about these sea-based and land-based interceptors? When do they get triggered?
Once a determination has been made that a missile has launched and is moving toward leaving the atmosphere, these systems are triggered to prepare for an intercept. The tracking is done, of course, with high-speed sensors, high-speed computers. Decision is made by humans as to whether or not this represents a threat and to essentially initiate the launch procedure for an interceptor.
All right, how do the interceptors find the missiles? I understand there's some homing technology that's very crucial here. Can you explain that?
Yeah, not to back up too much, but of course the interceptor is launched in a booster, and the booster's intention is to put the interceptor in what one will call the ballpark of where the incoming warheads are supposed to be. Once it puts the interceptor within that framework, the interceptor begins to search, looking for those targets. It then adjusts its own course to ensure that it arrives at a common point with the warhead at the same point in time.
Well, let's say everything goes as planned. What exactly does happen if it is successful?
Well, the intercept's like taking two fine crystal balls and throwing them at one another and having them shatter. The warhead is disabled immediately. It doesn't go off. It goes into pieces. They then drift down into the atmosphere and burn up on attempts to reenter the atmosphere.
Now, there's a lot of debate about whether this system really is going to work. Billions have already been spent on testing these systems. The Pentagon has given a success rate, a very high success rate. I think it's 88%. But that's based only on missiles that are successful in the end stage, that is, meaning that they hit the target. But they're not counting failures at the beginning. That is, that the interceptor is not even launched successfully in the first place. So how do we assess, really, whether there is proof that this system works, how well this system works?
Lynn, let me back up a moment on what you said. The 88% is based upon the condition that the interceptor is released from the booster. Some of the early failures, and indeed the failure as described last week on the 11th, was due to a mechanical failure of the system to release the interceptor. This is a technology that is old, and I mean, when I say old, it's highly mature. It's hard for me to understand why it isn't working every time, because this has been a highly reliable capability in the launch industry for the last 20, 25, 30 years. So this is not a physics problem. This is just a reliability problem on people putting some things together.
But that problem has to be addressed, clearly.
It has to be addressed. You're correct.
Thanks very much, Dr. Askew.
My pleasure.
Dr. Raymond Askew is a research scientist and director of Space Research Development at Texas A&M University.